Welcome to the Humanist Union meeting for this month. And our speakers today are Susan Hagstrom and Dr. Henry Steinberger. So take it away.
All right. Well, we went to Freedom from Religion Foundation, September 27th to 29th, at the Concourse Hotel. I'll start with one of the sort of pre-registration activities that happened. Andrew Seidel talked about sweating. He called this talk Sweat the Small Stuff. He was using the theory, criminological, psychological, sociological theory called broken window theory, that in areas of decline where the community makes an effort to stop or reverse, the effect is often stopped or even improved. And conversely, you know, if you have a broken window, that tempts more people into, you know, not cleaning up after the place, and you get more broken windows, and sort of the effect multiplies. He cited an experiment conducted in the Netherlands in which selected locations were protected from being defaced with graffiti and litter, or were defaced. It was possible to place flyers on hundreds of bikes parked on the locations and then observe how much additional littering took place based on how the area already looked. Seidel argued that this applies to church-state violations because, if one didn't work on the small stuff, the prayers and city councils, et cetera, then the effect would multiply and even more violations of the sort will occur. In other words, a sort of avalanche effect. And then he ended with a plea for the attendees to be more active protectors and commenters in each of their own communities, because the theory will only work if the, to put a cute, the if the small stuff is sweated. It was really a pretty good talk. I have found, and I think a lot of people have found, that FFRF is often considered a, sort of a bully organization, so this sort of talk is a good talk to have, even to people who don't listen to that.
And Andrew's one of the attorneys for FFRF.
Yes.
Andrew, sir.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about Dan Savage? He was the evening talker.
I had to run home to...
Uh-huh.
See some folks, so I think I missed the evening.
Okay.
Oh no, I saw Jill. You mean Jill and Julia?
No, Dan Savage.
Oh, that was the other night. Yeah, Dan Savage. You may know because of his column, Savage Love. He's gay. He started the It Gets Better campaign. Anybody not know the It Gets Better campaign here?
No.
You don't know about it. Okay. Well, as he noticed, lots of kids. The religious right tells their people, if your kid's gay, throw him out of the house. That'll teach him. So there's a lot of kids who end up on the street prostituting themselves, using drugs, and killing themselves. Good advice, right? That's the way, I guess, they like it. But so Dan, seeing this problem, started a campaign where he, as a popular figure, got other celebrities to make little... TV spots where gay celebrities come out and say, hey, we know that it sucks right now, but it gets better. And one little girl wrote to him that, you know, she came out to her dad and her dad, you know, was going to throw her out. So she kind of like went back underground and she would like read stuff, you know, you pull the blanket over you with the flashlight and, you know, followed her heart that way, reading his columns and stuff. And she said that the campaign basically allowed her to live underground until she could get old enough to move away and come out again, and that it kept her alive. So he was pretty convinced that that was a very helpful campaign. He also had a lot of funny stuff about trying to buy the desk and awards and books from Abigail Van Buren,
Dear
Abby, who had passed away, and he is a fellow journalist, never had any awards up to that point. So he thought he'd take $1,000 to New York and bid in the auction, thinking that her desk would probably be, well, he said, nothing more than 1,000. And so he got it for around 100 and came away with a big pocket full of money and a pile of awards that nobody wanted to own. So I guess it's not going to the Smithsonian.
Hmm? And a whole lot of interesting correspondence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was never, the liberal that he is, but she was reasonable, and he says he learned a lot about being a journalist from her. So that was a really fun. He's very funny.
And you can read about that in the current issue of The Humanist.
Absolutely. I think that was the thing that got me to actually go. I mean, it's in town. It's too convenient. I couldn't miss it. But this, to me, was the top.
And then, of course, in the morning, I came to the reason I was most interested in going, which is the Student Activist Award. It was given to, he's currently taking in college in Texas, but he was he got well known for Louisiana. What happened, his name is Zach Coplin, and in Louisiana they set up a law, they call it the Louisiana Science Education Act, which doesn't expressly say you should teach creationism, but is written so that if anybody who wants to teach creationism in the public schools, they won't get in trouble for it. Zach Coplin sort of really got it irritated with this thing. Coplin's teachers at a public magnet school found it appalling, so he had support, shall we say, yeah. So for his high school senior project, Coplin launched a campaign to repeal the law, getting a lawyer to help him out with the lawyer stuff. So far, twice he's been unsuccessful at repealing the law, but he has gotten a lot of attention. I first came across him. He has a lovely review. Bill Moyers had him on his show, and he talked for practically the whole hour. Really impressive guy. During his talk, he discussed about his start, getting a lawyer to help him get the repeal started. And then he showed two examples of some of the more absurd arguments that he got from the senators. The first one was the legislature, who basically belittled and didn't quite understand the importance of those little initials at the ends of people's names. And, came off as really a poor sport. One should mention that Coplin got 78 Nobel laureates to sign on a sort of affidavit of agreement with his, for his trying to repeal the law. The second one I'm going to try to play. Hopefully you guys can hear it.
Could
yes, there is
have
an experiment.
In the classroom that would say, here's Darwin's theory of evolution,
there
and
is
this proves it without a
yes,
shadow of a doubt.
I will tell you about that. They have done experiments with E. coli bacteria, and they have taken those E. coli, and they have taken different containers of them, and they froze them in time, so that...
How long of time?
Uh-huh.
How long?
They just froze them over generations, like years.
Oh, okay.
But this is an experiment.
Okay.
And so then they let the E. coli that are in the different vials continue to evolve.
Okay.
And then they take this group and they freeze it. And then they take this group and they freeze it. And then you can take all of them over time and compare them. And you can see how the E. coli have changed over time and how they evolved. But what's really interesting...
They evolve into a person?
No, they...
Okay, I'm just asking how to get there. I'm just trying to figure out how to get there. But go ahead. I mean, so they change...
Person.
I think that's what we're talking about on...
Oh, that's not what we're talking about.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
We're
I'm just trying to find
evolution.
Out...
evolution.
Yeah, absolutely.
So these E. coli...
How we got here.
He showed only two, the one with the bulleting names. On his YouTube website, he's got 24 examples of stuff he's run across. He's been on Bill Maher, he's been on Bill Moyers, as I said, and you can read the reviews on those sites if you have access to the internet. He's now in college in Texas, but he's still involved with working with others to repeal the law, as well as conducting research on which private schools who get public vouchers teach creationism and figuring out ways to let the public know that this is going on, so that the public knows that they're not getting good science education if they go to these private schools with the public vouchers. And he's also involved in Texas with the efforts to prevent creationism getting stuck in the school textbooks. Really impressive dude. Okay.
Why do you suppose so much of this thinking comes from the South, where people are not terribly educated and smart? At least they seem to.
Is there a question there?
Yeah. Why do we let Texas control what we have our kids read?
Oh, Texas has the most sold school textbooks, so the textbook makers tend to go there first and talk to the school board.
Are the books cheaper?
And no, the school,
if they don't buy them, then the publishing company can't sell them, can't sell the volume of textbooks, so they modify the textbook so it's acceptable in Texas.
That's what I mean.
For that population.
Why are they in Texas?
Yeah, it should be California, but you know.
Where the money is.
It will become a non-issue because what they're talking about now is getting rid of textbooks and giving all the kids one of these things, a Kindle or something, and then the textbooks can be modified and updated quickly and easily, and we'll just drive the textbook manufacturers out of business at some point.
I read that 14 of the textbook manufacturers, which is like 95%, are not going along with Texas. They're taking that stand.
Oh, that's good.
That's because, I mean, this group that, and other groups that Copland is going on, are attacking twice as hard as the other people, but it's still a fact that in Texas, the school board, the whole school board session is pretty much filled up with creationists.
And you have to stay on top of this because we lived in Kansas for a period of time, and all of a sudden nobody was paying attention. All of a sudden, we have creationists on the school board.
That was by design.
And then we had to work to get them off, and then all of a sudden they're back on.
Non-intelligent design.
Just went back and forth. But I was at a meeting where we were all sitting and talking, and I said, okay, let's just come up with a compromise. Why don't we teach both? We can teach both. We'll have creationism biology, and we'll have evolutionary biology, and we'll put it on the transcripts as such. Whoa, they didn't want
They did not
want your kid to they just want biology, and they want your kid to teach it.
The creationists in biology.
They want to build up their power.
Yeah, and not expose their kids to, like, reason.
Right. Well, they don't have to. They teach two classes.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, that is one of the reasons I really wanted to hear this guy, because he's coming out on national forums. He's speaking sense. I mean, if you listen to some of the reviews, I looked up some other things that he's done, and stuff like Bill Moyles and Bill Maher, and he's working on getting people to know that if they send their school kids with public vouchers, they're getting creationism instead of evolution, all that sort of thing. So you get this impression in the South. What?
Is that happening here too in Wisconsin?
No, this is down where he lives. But so I'm sort of saying, you get this in
school here that got the voucher in Madison. You know, they teach creation science. Mm-hmm. That one Lighthouse or whatever.
Yeah, but private school. There are some parents that want that, and so they'll take the voucher,
or they'll homeschool. There's lots of ways if you really want your kid to be less informed biologically.
Sheltered. Yes.
Make them sign the pledge that they will not have sex. That has been incredibly ineffective, but, you know, if you want to get your little girl pregnant, make her sign the pledge and see what happens. Right.
But, I mean, the other point is, I mean, this Zach Coppin is an excellent example of, you get this impression in the South that there are, well, essentially, they're stereotypical dumb hicks, but he came right out. I mean, shortly after the law started, he came right out. He worked to repeal it. All he has to do, he said, was to get his fellow students into the sessions with the legislature, and they're willing to help him out after they hear these state senators, well, basically talk the way this guy talked, you know. Because there are people out there working against,
ugh. It ties into what you were saying earlier about sweating the small stuff. The people who are, you know, the creationists, they sweat the small stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Every little thing. Oh, you stepped on us. You, you know,
your insult.
Done something. Yeah, and if we can do this, the same kind of, you know, nip things in the bud and prevent things from avalanching, like you said.
That's exactly one of the things that they, that what's his face, the lawyer suggested, is, Andrew suggested, is that the forces of dumb will cite, well, it says in God we trust on the money. It says under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Therefore, and of course, you know, people forget that that was stuff that was put in there in 1954 and 1956.
Against communism.
Against communism.
Godless communists.
Godless communists. Yeah. And you know, you could still, if you ever go on YouTube and, you know, listen to Gremlins from the Kremlin or some of the earlier Looney Tunes, you could have Porky Pig doing the Pledge of Allegiance, in which it's one nation,
indivisible.
With at which, you know, or as we might have now, one nation under Canada, indivisible. I mean, I've hated that one because I think the grammar of it suggests that we are believing in one God who's indivisible, i.e. monotheism. What happened to the nation?
And also, what happened to the United States of America? We're America now, we're not United States of America. People from other countries that don't speak English don't have any idea who the United States of America is.
Of course, we call ourselves America. Yeah, we have a lot of problems with the little things.
I was in China and talking to a bunch of women who did not have English and I didn't have Chinese.
Let's not get too far off topic.
Yeah, let's go back to, we were taking a look at people, you know, like Zach, who currently are fighting the good fight. We also went back and looked at some people from the past who were fighting the good fight. We saw a movie by Jay Rosenstein about Vashti McCallum, and we honored her son, Jim, who took a lot of, can I say poop? Yes, on your radio show. He took it, you know, on the chin for the family, because his mom wouldn't countenance having him sit out in the hall while they taught religion in the public schools in Chicago. Now, you know, we make fun of them hicks down in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, but right up here in the north through the 1940s, this is what was happening, and Vashti McCallum, Vashti, that's a great name. Does everybody know who Vashti was in the Book of Esther? The king of Persia says, you know, asks, how shall I entertain my guests? And his chief smart guy, who knows all about great marriage because he's a eunuch, tells him, you know, well, have your wife come out and dance for them. Doesn't say naked, but I'm sort of inferring. And Vashti, his wife, says, how can I put this on the radio? And so he sends her away. I don't believe he kills her. And that's how Esther becomes queen, because she'll dance, but she also will intervene for, well, hell, you don't need the whole story. You just know that Vashti is a woman who would stand up to the patriarchy. And so Vashti McCallum wasn't going to let her kids be indoctrinated into religion, and she started her fight there and took it to the school board, to the state courts, and finally the Supreme Court, where she finally won. And so Jay Rosenstein, and, you know, caught her while she was like 93 and still alive so that she could comment a little bit. And the documentary is called The Lord Is Not on Trial Here, because the newspapers of the day claimed, you know, that the Lord was on trial, but clearly he wasn't. And so, Jim McCallum got the Champion of the First Amendment Award. And then to top that off, Ellery Shemp, I'll let you do too. Shemp was also honored. She changed the law in 1947 and excluded religious teaching in the schools. Ellery, who was going to Abington High School, the total rival of my Cheltenham High School where I was at the time, no, not at the time, many years later, at Abington, they were still saying the prayers, you know, before class. And again, well, if you don't like it, just go stand out in the hall. You don't have to participate. I always think, you know, it would be great if we had a lot of atheists and told them, okay, you Christian kids, you don't like us doing our atheist thing? Go out in the hall and stand there until we're done. Can you imagine? So Shemp, Ellery Shemp, also objected. He was a high school student. He stood up, his parents backed him up, and he won in 1963 another Supreme Court case where they threw out prayer in the school, which was great, because when I was in fourth grade, I had to listen to that crap, so I was very pleased to hear, you know, the history of this one as well. Both of these guys, by the way, went on to have fantastic careers, award-winning careers, amazing people. So I guess adversity toughens us up or something.
And that leads into somebody who got into a little bit of trouble, pretty much doing the same thing. In this case, his name is Juan Mendez. He's the Arizona State Representative for Tempe, they seem to recall. And they have prayer in their sessions. So being an atheist, he decided he wasn't going to, decline or anything. So he stood up and essentially gave sort of the atheist equivalent. Let's see, I have some of the quotes in the prayer. This is a room in which there are many challenging debates, many moments of tension, of ideological division, of frustration. But this is also a room where, as my secular humanist tradition stresses, by the very fact of being human, we have much more in common than we have differences. We share the same spectrum of potential for care, for compassion, for fear, for joy, for love. And the other state senators got so upset about that that they pretty much don't let him do it anymore. But on the other hand, he did report that he didn't get hardly any negative comments from his representees.
Constituents.
So
when he did this, didn't he tell people not to bow their heads?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Exactly. Please look around the room. Don't bow your heads, but look around. He wanted you to see that everybody around you was human. And boy, you know, in the film, didn't they look like, huh? Look at other people? No, this is my time to close my eyes and sleep.
What are the sins of today, looking at other people?
I don't want to look at those people. I hate those people.
But no, I mean, he, the nice thing is that even in Arizona, he didn't get hardly any backlash with his with the people he represented. It was just the people in the council chamber that got upset.
Yeah, he invoked Carl Sagan.
Oh, yeah,
that was in his non-prayer.
But, yeah. So, what he ended up was getting some news reports. The council chamber was about the only one who really objected. So he doesn't get to do it anymore, and then
it's such a benign thing to say. I mean, it's just about human beings.
Are they still saying prayers?
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah.
Well, just asking.
Well, the Supreme Court opens with a prayer, too, so you can see that they're biased enough that they're not about to change that one. It's tradition.
Well, they do arguing the case, you know.
Are they?
Yeah. American United is supporting somebody against Dalloway. It's City of Dalloway, I think.
Are there any states that you still put your hand on the Bible when you have to testify?
Got me.
Interesting.
That's an interesting. Yeah. What does it mean to someone who's not?
Now they just say, we promise to tell the truth.
Raise your hand.
I affirm. Matter of fact, it was pointed out in one of these presentations that the pledge, the swearing in of the president does not end with, so help me God. And it starts off with, I swear, or in parentheses, or I affirm. And they had that from the very beginning. It's in the Constitution. You could say I affirm because they didn't all believe in the same stuff. And some of them, for religious reasons, don't swear. That would be, I mean.
Well, even I couldn't put my hand on the Bible.
Why would it burn? Yeah. It burns. Yeah. It burns. No.
Well, it burned me, but nobody else.
It would. It would,
but I mean, I would find that hypocritical.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, what if you're a Buddhist or something?
Exactly.
What meaning is there in that? Right. Well, even the old universalists did not believe in swearing.
Exactly. That's the, I think, the group that they put the affirmation in, because some of the founding fathers were you
use. Universalists, yeah.
Yeah.
At least some of the signers of the
Constitution.
Of the
Declaration?
Declaration.
I'm not, I don't know if I'm getting off topic here, but I have a problem. Maybe you guys can help me. I have gone to people's homes for dinner, and all of a sudden, they're all reaching and grabbing hands and going to say a prayer, and they want to hold hands around the table. Now, I find this really repulsive. So what would you do in that situation?
I volunteer. I'd like to say thanks. Thank the people who planted the food, who collected the food, who...
You have to give the prayer. I mean, it's very interesting.
Then you're screwed.
It's a very tough situation.
What does it mean to you when people hold hands that way?
Well, they're holding hands to pray,
but can't
a Christian
hands
prayer.
For some other reason.
Well, you could, but that's not the
but
reason.
That's not the reason they're doing it.
Now, we used to run into that in Canada at your uncle's, and we just went along with it.
Sure.
It's not just people connecting. Yeah, because it was their house.
Somebody immediately takes charge and says, let's bow our heads in prayer.
I don't mind doing that as long as I don't have to hold hands.
What you do?
I have a cold. I have a cold. I'm going to bow out. Sorry.
I have this infection.
It's called atheism, and I don't want it to spread to you too generally. Hey, I come from a very strict atheist background, a Jewish atheist background, where my grandparents used to go out every Friday night and went to the Chinese restaurant and got lobster and spare ribs. Every Friday night, they celebrated that religiously. So I had a long way to come to find out what this is all about before I came back.
Have other speakers you want to talk about?
Who else?
Well, I mean, there's pretty much Sarah Paresky. He went out, and so my memory of Sarah Paresky is
so
she wrote, read...
from her most recent book?
The book that's going to come out, so nobody had got it yet.
Right.
And then she sort of talked about building her characters as pretty much atheist characters. I do not know if anybody reads her mysteries. She's famous for her.
I do.
Mysteries.
I did not associate her with the.
Well, she doesn't write them totally as atheists, but
definitely not observant.
She presented that well in town here one day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But she is an atheist, and she does write her characters without religion, including the doctor who survived World War II.
Oh, Frankl? Viktor Frankl you talk about?
No.
She has a character based on Viktor Frankl.
Oh, she was a woman.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
She primarily writes that one. Women characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even in Bleeding Kansas, it was more women characters.
Hmm. And she pretty much sort of just started talking about how comfortable she was writing characters without religion.
And she, are these novels or what?
Yes.
Mysteries.
Mystery novels. Bleeding Kansas wasn't a mystery novel, but she actually grew up in Kansas.
On a farm.
Mm-hmm. And then for the entertainment, they had singers for both nights. First night they had the comedian Jill Sweeney. She used to do SNL, Saturday Night Live. Primarily what I remember from her was she does this hilarious shtick where she was trying to answer questions from her, I think it was a regular daughter, on sex. So the daughter would keep on bringing up certain examples, and she'd you know, families and friends and gay people, and she was trying to describe what, you know.
It all started with the frog. Mommy, you know, we're studying frogs, and, you know, they have, you know, lay eggs and they become tadpoles. And she went and said, oh, but the daddy frog you know, has to be involved. How? Oh, well, it spreads something on the eggs and it. So do people do that? Do, you know, animals do? Can we see how animals do? Oh, yeah. She went down.
And it was basically going further and further from, you know, how she wanted to go. Very hilarious. And then she had a singer friend sort of do good songs. Mm. And then the second night, I had to leave a bit early, this was a singer from Australia.
Shelley
Siegel.
And quite frankly, I remember from that is they were, you know, country/folk music, and fairly nice.
I had to leave too.
Oh, yeah. So
you didn't get to hear her being accompanied by Dan Barker then?
No, but that was a big thing. And, you know, there was one more entertainer on the bill speaking to us, Jamila Bey. Anybody ever hear her? She does the, for a decade as producer and an editor of National Public Radio on such shows as Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and Talk of the Nation. She now hosts I can't believe when I was in Washington, D.C., you turn on the news and it's Russian TV. Apparently the Russians, you know, this is like... Quite a channel. I mean, the news has a pro-Russian slant, but other than that, they do put out stuff that some people on the right would regard as anti-American because she is a very out-there atheist. Her show is called, her weekly radio show is the Sex, Politics, and Religion Hour, or SPAR, with Jamila.
Oh, is this in English?
Oh, yes. Jamila is...
from Russia.
No, she's black and American. Which, you know, again, you know, there's always the criticism that FFRF is a bunch of old white guys, kind of like the Republican Party.
Is this a streaming thing, the Russian television?
No, I think it's made here. It's in English. It's
American television. It's basically financed by Russian people with money.
Government. Yeah, government.
There's a Russian streaming television network that streams.
That is in English.
It's in English. You can get it if you have a localism.
Sure. It's Russian just like Al Jazeera is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're starting to get actual freedom of speech in this country, and we're going to hear other people's opinions, whether we like it or not. Don't like it, turn it off. But she's not really, and she was asked about that, and she says, I don't get edited. I can say what I want, and... sometimes it's appropriate to criticize American policy overseas, and she's been on board, as she says, it's sex, politics, and religion. And, you know, she's marvelous.
The example she gave she's doing a job as a journalist, but even if they wanted to have sort of pro-Russian influence, the stuff she tackled with the senator on her example was... appropriate enough to show that American senators are being a bit of a asses. Because they don't need help. I mean, Russia, America does not need help to make the senators lately appear not so great.
She likes being a stand-up comedian because it's cheaper than scrapbooking. And she's working on a book that's critically examines the role religion plays in the lives of African-American women. So... I guess, you know, from her point of view, this is going to be an interesting book that I'm waiting for. And she is a stand-up comedian, so when she comes around the country, I hope you'll all get out there. I certainly will buy my ticket. She was very funny. Wasn't she?
Oh, yes.
I like stand-up comics better than anything.
Do they do this every year?
Every year, but every other year it's in Madison, and every other year then they move it to Massachusetts or Portland in the last... couple of years. Bay?
No.
Well, the FFRF is in Madison.
Yeah. Oh, and they're building a new building.
Right.
That, boy, did we hear about that new building?
Oh, yeah.
Endlessly. And who's...
Is it going to be in the same place?
Same space. We saw a film of them tearing down the house next door, you know, sped up so you could see the whole thing being torn down.
Oh, so it's a three-story apartment building.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to, use the spot that they're on, and I think somehow to
expand it
because you can't tear it down and start again. You have to incorporate the, but it's beautiful. It's marvelous. And
yeah, with, I think part of the building's going to go over the old building and make safe space.
Well, save space, and also the zoning was, you know, you have to get special zoning, but if you're just improving a building.
Yeah.
So they can keep working in their current space while the new one's being built around them.
I guess. I didn't quite catch that. What I did catch was that Ellery Shemp and was Jim also were donating huge chunks of money and two others. Yeah, a lot of the people who received awards took their money and said, no, use it on the new building. There are places where you can get in trouble for being an atheist. I don't think Madison, Wisconsin is one of them. But have people heard of the Recovery from Religion organization that Daryl Ray runs? He's seeking out therapists like myself to work with people who are leaving religion or even leaving the ministry. You know, if you leave the ministry, sometimes you not only lose your congregation, you lose your family. Your wife and children, or your husband and children, might say, "Get the hell out!" Whatever. So,
Mr. Buckley, which is
caring for the poor and the sick. Yeah.
Some religions, if you're doing what Jesus would do, you're not supposed to.
What, you don't follow the prosperity gospel?
Yeah, you know.
God wants you to be rich. Tithe, and he will give you.
Yeah, I know. So
yeah,
we
whatever.
Talk about.
For the radio station here, maybe we should get back to Freedom from Religion Foundation and the conference. Did we cover everything?
We had a a representative from the Secular Coalition of America who showed up and pretty much gave us a report of what they're up to. They're continuing to get more and more hearings from senators and being able to be more visible, which I rather like. This representative, her name was Aisha Goss, she was really quite talkative. I talked to her afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it's really good to hear. Everybody know what Secular Coalition of America is?
No,
but I heard her. She was excellent.
Mm-hmm. The Secular Coalition of America is a group of a lot of the sort of atheist, agnostic, humanist, etc. groups, and they essentially pay in for them to be sort of lobbyists for the secular humanist.
Right. The American Humanist Association is one of their members.
Mm-hmm. They have at least 25, if not 30 groups that provide them with some money. I mean, they have much less money than Focus on the Family, for example. But they are continuing to get even better heard throughout the Washington halls and stuff like that. So it was really lovely to hear them.
Did she say anything about their effort to create chapters in different states? I know there's some people involved with setting up a Wisconsin chapter of the Secular Coalition for America.
I don't think I remembered anything about that. And you two?
No,
I don't think she said anything about that. I mean, she was essentially basically giving a report
about what was going on. There's a whole bunch of groups, and remember, somebody said we don't need any more groups necessarily, just need to beef up the ones we have or something like that.
Oh, did she say that? My wife called me on the cell phone in the middle of the thing. I missed it.
She just gave me a report of what the Secular Coalition was going doing. It is true, though. I mean, if you think about the opposite side with the religion people, they have worked hard to really get lobbyists in the halls of the Capitol, which is why we get these bad laws going about. So we do need somebody to work for the secular humanists.
Right.
I thought she was pretty good. But other than that, that was pretty much the whole session.
Very good. Any other concluding remarks?
They ran out of shrimp at the very beginning. I mean, I think they always, and there was no ham at all. I thought that, I mean, in the tradition of my grandparents, I thought serving shrimp and ham at a FFRF conference would be, you know, de rigueur. And they, for some reason, well, I know what the problem was, people like me taking 5 or 6 at the very start. But
where is it located? I'm new here, so
Oh, on West Washington Avenue, when you're going west, away from the Capitol, it's on your right-hand side. What is it, about one or two blocks?
Hmm? One block down.
One block down. It's a gray, recessed building that, and amazingly, has never been attacked. Even though it says Freedom Hall.
They don't put the address on their website.
No, they don't. That's probably a good thing.
I don't know. Would people really attack it or not?
They've gotten death threats every year. Yeah. Matter of fact, if you get the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Free Thought Today, monthly.
But on the other hand, it is, I mean, compared with the rest of the buildings in that area, it is a distinctive building, and they make no qualms about making it a distinctive building.
And it says Free Thought Hall right on the, on the building. And right now, it's probably got a construction project right next to it.
Yeah.
So expansion. So anything else? Any other questions about the conference? If not, let's give our speakers a hand of applause.
And if anybody's interested in getting some of the YouTube things with Zach Coplin or some of the interviews from Maher or Moyers, just email me.
It looked like the whole conference was on... was being filmed, so for all I know, it may be available.
If I've ever saying that,
yeah,
it will be,
all
but
taped.
They'll put videos on their website.
I think you could probably buy that one DVD of that movie, which I would think would be great.
Oh,
put that in the library.
Oh, right. I'm sure.
I've seen that before.
That
but as of yesterday night, I went out and checked yesterday night.
I never heard of that story before. I just never knew about it, anything about it. Well, you think you should, but I never knew about it. That Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, the guy was
right. Oh, right, it wasn't Chicago, it was Champaign-Urbana.
Right.
Yeah, they had lawyers in Chicago, but the guy's dad was a professor, and because he said he was an atheist, they wanted to get him fired, but they said, okay. They didn't fire him, but they just never gave him a raise.
Yeah, he was in agriculture, of all things. I mean, what the hell difference does it make whether you, Burbank, Luther Burbank claimed, you know, God's intervention in how he created fruits and vegetables, but he was using genetics.
Thank you very much.
You betcha. Thank you.